In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
I like that. I like a reaction Tuesday because it means the Texans played on Monday and it means they're relevant. They're playing on Monday Night Football, man. We love that. And they win. They beat the Cowboys. First time on Monday Night Football, the Texans have been on Monday Night Football since the 2019 season. They get the win last night in Dallas. First time that they've beaten the Cowboys on the road in the history of the franchise. So, ding, check that box right there. We'll hear from J.J. Watt in just a little bit. He took a nice shot at the Cowboys on the Manning cast last night. But first, here's C.J. Stroud. Big talk this week had been, got to have fun, got to let it rip, got to cut it loose. Here was C.J. Stroud on all of those things last night.
For sure. Yeah, I've been having more fun for sure. And learning, you know, that this game ultimately isn't everything. You know, it's important. And, you know, I'm extremely blessed. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored from Jesus Christ himself to be able to play this game, because I'm telling you, I'm not qualified, you know, but Jesus, he calls the unqualified to be qualified. So, I've been able to, you know, to learn not only from the game of football, from just X and O's, but just life. You know, you get knocked down 7 times, a righteous man gets up 8. So, you know, I've been able to kind of live that lifestyle a little bit more, you know, on and off the field, and, you know, been blessed to do that.
All right. Well, he's perfectly wired to go through whatever ups and downs this team has gone through over the last month or so, I would say. CJ?
I was reflecting on him saying the unqualified being called to be qualified. I feel like that's something he learned from Jack Easterby somewhere along the way.
God, I hope not.
Jack, how'd you get your job, Jack? I felt like I was called upon. I'm unqualified.
Qualified. They call me unqualified.
Yeah, I just, you know.
That's funny.
I'll tell you one thing. I would love to get to the point where we're not talking about whether or not guys are having fun. I'm not comfortable with any of this. I do think CJ is a guy that puts a lot of pressure on himself, and he's the opposite of Anthony Richardson. There's no chance in hell there was ever a thought that maybe we need to bench CJ because he doesn't take notes or something.
Right, the way, right, right.
Yeah, like all the stuff that they said about Anthony Richardson. So that part of it is big. I mean, execution and actually being a powerful offense is a nice cure for a great way to have fun in football.
What do you think about what the Texans put out there in these three nationally televised games? Let's face it, the nation, by and large, outside of Houston, has probably watched more Texans football in the last 3 weeks than they have maybe in, you know, maybe practically the entire DeMeco Ryans era, when you consider how little they were on national TV last year, aside from the postseason and the Week 18 game against the Colts. What do you think, like, this stretch where you rarely see a team playing 3 primetime games in a row like
right,
this,
right,
all
right,
on different days of the week? What do you think about what they put out there for the nation to see these last few weeks?
I think everybody's been kind of in a – they've had to pull back a little bit and table their opinions about the Texans as they watched other teams like the Lions really start to emerge. So that Lions game is where if people are thinking about narratives or anything – I think that's where it became clear, and then the Lions game especially, but if you look at the Jets game, obviously, before that, and then even this victory last night, that the Texans are just in a tier below mm-hmm. where the Lions are right now.
Yeah.
You know? And part of that might simply be Will Anderson, Kamari Lassiter, Nico Collins last week. Maybe it's as simple as that. I think it's more. I think there's more something systemically wrong with it. But I think nationally and from what I've seen, people are really impressed with the defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, the defense catches your eye. You know, that's something that just it jumps out at you. And then when you create as many turnovers as you did versus the Lions, I think that's what I think most people are probably looking at it if they've only watched the Texans on national television and thought, well, boy, it was really weird that bad half they had versus the Jets. But other than that, they fly around, they force turnovers, they have huge hits, really good pass rush. That looks like a Super Bowl caliber defense.
Yeah, it's there's a text. We're getting a ton of texts this morning. We appreciate everybody getting up with us this morning.
I can barely read this morning, everybody.
That's okay.
It's going to be all Sean.
I got the reading down. We're good. It's the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Defense is legit. They're built long-term to win like KC does right now, but they still have some things to figure out. And I think you're in the neighborhood there, Texter. You know, where they, like, if this team, like, look, right now as constructed, if this is who they are, then I think they're perfectly capable of winning a home playoff game, which it looks there's like a 95% chance they're going to get here. Like, last night was a big step towards winning the division, because you still got all three of these division games that you should win on the schedule here. Like, it'll be a major disappointment if this team doesn't go into the bye week in a couple of weeks at 9-4 with the Titans at home and the Jags on the road coming up. If you're going to pull off an upset in the divisional round, though, because it looks like you're going to have to travel in the divisional round, it will be because of your defense. It'll be your defense winning the turnover battle, forcing some mistakes. That is how you're built right now. I guess the question is, whatever is ailing this team offensively, how... I don't think you can fully fix it this season, just because I think you just need better guys in certain spots.
But
how much can you fix it with the guys that you have right now?
I don't know, too, as well as, I mean, look, there's the problem with the offensive line. And, you know, kudos to them. The very first Joe Mixon touchdown, nice zone run, cutback, and they did a great job on that. It's when they get down into the red zone that you start to see the physicality just isn't there. But in the pass protection, I mean, this pressure up the gut, these mental errors and guys just being unaccounted for in the A-gap, the physical errors you can abide. The mental errors, I have no choice but to question how these guys are being coached, whether it's Chris Strausser or Bobby Slowick or whatever the hell's going on. I mean, Laremy Tunsil right out the gate. Now, look, Laremy is a serial offender. He's been a league leader in penalties.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who his coach is.
He's a top three in penalties. Yeah, I don't know. He might be the greatest of all time at committing penalties because he's a league leader almost every year. And he was in the lead last night, and he went into it and committed one. But some of the execution, as you know, they pointed out on the broadcast, and Andre did as well, that you know that you're running that play right from the get-go. And it wasn't egregiously downfield, but it was enough, like, on the first play of the game, and he was way more downfield than the other Texans offensive linemen were. It's just a sloppy inattention to detail by Laremy Tunsil. And he just goes into business for himself. Just flat out doesn't care. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
And it calls back a touchdown.
It does. It does. Now, I will say this on the, you know, like, on the bright side, I did like the resiliency of the offense that you get that penalty, now you're 1st and 15, and they just took a touchdown from your returning superstar wide receiver. Play they'd been working on all week, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they got
the right look, and they don't get a touchdown. They do put the drive together and then block that play for Mixon on the 45-yard touchdown. So that they came back and still scored on that drive, I view as a major positive for this offense, as up and down as they've been this season.
Right, the fact that they scored twice on that drive.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of, there was a theme to it in the evening, because on the turnover touchdown return, there were two fumbles on that. Yeah. The Texans took the ball away, and then they took the ball away again on the same play.
Yeah.
That was really good.
That was fun.
And Derek Burnett was the same guy doing it. The one thing I'd say about, it was awesome to see Nico score that touchdown right off the bat. And it's unfortunate that it was called back, but the penalty was totally relevant. Like, that was, you know, that's old. People get upset with a legal man downfield. As a defender, it's bogus when a guy gets away with being, because it looks like run, and it makes you, it just makes the play action work that much more effectively. Tunsil's a whole other category.
He is.
There's something systemically wrong with that offensive line. Those guys ain't right.
Yeah.
They just ain't right.
Right.
You know, like that, you know, just some groups of, you know, like the kids at your school, they're hanging out in the corner, they're wearing trench coats, they've got dastardly looks on there. Those kids ain't right. Right. That's what that O-line is. They just ain't right.
Well, I wish they were a little more dastardly. You know what I mean? If they were dastardly and mean, that would actually, that might help things a little bit, you know?
They're crumb bums. That's what, yeah, they're not like future evil G. It's not like a bunch of little Lex Luthers running around. Yeah, they're crumb bums.
Crumb bums. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. Have y'all talked about the Mechie form tackle yet? No, we've not. He was part of the circle of swarm this week, Mechie, and then he got a chance to actually swarm in the game last night.
The Cowboys attempt a fake punt.
Tackle on a fake
was
punt.
Was it consecutive weeks or second time in
consecutive
3 weeks?
No, it was back-to-back weeks. Yeah, back-to-back
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, and failed again. Yeah. Boy, that's when it really felt like. I credit the Cowboys with coming back from that point and actually still trying to make a run of it and coming within. Because that felt like when the wheels really could have fallen off the wagon.
That was one of the times the Texans went for it on fourth down and they didn't get it there. So the Cowboys actually held there. Here was J.J. Watt on the Manning cast last night. One of the biggest stories coming out of this game had nothing to do with football. It was the fact that the Cowboys wanted to play with the roof open last night. So they opened the roof during the day and apparently heavy winds took out some of the metal that the building is made out of, and a gigantic piece of sheet metal during the pregame came floating down to the field, and fortunately it
came within inches of the carotid artery of a Texan staffer.
As far as we're concerned, yeah, as far as we're concerned, that's what happened.
Inches can be multiple feet,
sure,
but still,
sure,
it was
sure.
Close enough.
No, so it was definitely a number of inches that it came within. Here was J.J. Watt last night on the Manning cast taking a shot at the Cowboys.
From that, not a bad thing.
That crowd shot in Dallas kind of says it all right there. They either left to avoid the falling ceiling panels, or the game's not going too well. And I think we wow.
it goes
know
to
which it is.
Five games in a row at home that they've been down at some point by more than 20 points. That's not good. I think going six if you go back to the playoffs last year.
Eli, the statistician, yeah, chipping in with some numbers there at the end, Eli.
What a sad sack of just pathetic misery that entire franchise is.
I thought you were saying about the Manning cast. I'm like, man, it's not my favorite either, but that is a harsh criticism.
No. That was good by JJ. That was a nice it wasn't even a shot, really. I feared for everybody's safety.
Yeah.
Once I saw the video especially, and there's like, oh, that's – and I think some people – don't be fooled by the fact that it was kind of wafting down
the earth.
It looked
like a leaf. It looked like a gigantic metal leaf.
That sheet metal will slice you open, Sean.
You let the edges catch you.
Sean, I am a YouTube-trained HVAC tech.
That is true.
And there's one thing I can tell you is that sheet metal will kill you dead. You got to be careful, man.
Dude, they –
slice you open.
I get skittish anytime I see a video of anybody doing something from great heights. Watching that dude on the catwalk having to bolt that second piece of metal that looked like it was about to fall. Like, there was a second piece of sheet metal, for those who don't know, that if they didn't figure something out, they were going to postpone the game. So they had to bolt it to the roof at AT&T Stadium. And showing that guy on the catwalk, dude, I get the jelly legs so bad when I see people walking in places like that. Ugh, that's the worst. Payne and Pendergast with you. Good job, Texan fans, last night, by the way.
The Ernie Zampezi, I can't remember the end of the movie. He was the World War II POW. They were on a lifeboat for like 2 months and survived. That's why they found themselves in a lifeboat, because they were forced. They were like, hey, this thing's a death trap, this plane that they're about to fly out on, but they had to go on this rescue mission. So there's like barely flight worthy plane. That's how they had to fly out on. That's how I felt about that guy up in the rafters.
Yeah.
I was like, they got this guy just trying to patch this old jalopy together to try to make it through one game, and everybody's going to die because of it.
Jalopy.
Thanks a lot, Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They found him after the game. Somehow the cameras found Jerry Jones. He was available for comment.
I saw that. Yeah, that's really weird.
It's getting to the point where I might start feeling bad about making fun of Jerry, just because I couldn't understand a word he was saying.
Yeah, he's
I don't
old,
know if
man.
He was. He wasn't making any sense at all.
No. All right, let's get into headlines. We'll continue to dig into this Texans game. Ross Tucker joins us at the top of the hour. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. Rockets played last night as well. Minute Maid Park's got a new name. We got a lot to get to in headlines. It's coming up next.